Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Keeping It Real with Steph and Darren.
Good morning, everyone. Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's like yesterday was freezing cold. We still have a frozen pipe upstairs that we've been ignoring because our plumber said
we're not ignoring it.
We're not ignoring it. We shut the water off and now we're just waiting for the ground to thaw. And yeah, today it's snowing, so there you go.
I'm trying to think back to last winter. I know it was definitely depressing last winter.
It's freezing.
Like, no, last winter was depressing, and now I'm trying to figure out if this winter is worse than last winter. And I guess I just put last winter out of my mind, so I really don't know anymore what to compare it to. But this winter is just bad.
Well, normally in February we go away, so we didn't go away. And now we're dealing with it being home another week. And also, for some reason, usually the winter break is more like the third week of February, not the second week. So it's like, even though we get through this week, there's still like another week of February or 2 weeks of February.
Yeah.
Super depressing.
I asked somebody, if we just did away with the month of February overall, would the weather still be the same?
There you go. Yeah,
you know?
I think so. Then we'd be depressed in March. So
February is the most ill-conceived month of the year, right? I don't know of any other month during the year that rivals February in terms of just...
On the East Coast. I mean, the thing is that you see all these people posting their nice photos from Cabo and
if we were rollerblading on the boardwalk in Redondo Beach or something like that.
Right,
in California, they wouldn't know the difference between February versus July.
Well, no, July would be hot. It would be hot in July. But it's still, I don't know. I mean, now I know why people go away, and next year we'll be away somewhere, anywhere.
Or put us away.
Exactly. I can't take it anymore. I actually started looking at Realtor.com to look for rentals in Delray Beach.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. What are you going to do with that information?
I don't know. Just like to always have it in my back pocket.
For the family or for yourself?
I don't know. I saw one to three bedrooms for like $1,100. That's pretty affordable.
That's not bad.
Right? A month, I mean, it's pretty affordable.
Maybe right after the bar mitzvah, we'll pack it up and on down.
That'd be nice. Well, no, by the time April rolls around, we won't have to.
By the way, we're in the market now for an elliptical bike. Is that what you
Either an elliptical or a spin bike. I saw them online, and the price has actually come down on the spin bike. But the catch is, if you order it from one of those places where you order it new, it comes in a million pieces, and there's no way we're ever going to put that together. So
yeah, that's as certain as death and taxes.
Yeah, it's never going to happen. So
I am the least handy person out there.
Yeah, so you look at this. This is like $399 in the spin bike. Not bad, right? But then, if you go ahead and you add it to your cart, and then you see how much it actually is.
Turns out to be $1,300.
Well, no. What happens is, it says, there's two different choices. One is delivery in a million pieces, and two is delivery with somebody actually setting it up for you. And then when somebody sets it up for you, you know, but it usually is like another $150 to $200 to have somebody set it up.
I wish I were handy. I wish I was somebody.
We
that
could have,
come
our
back
son
back.
Is handy.
He is handy. He's
you could probably put him together a bike.
I mean, he's good with the Legos, right?
Yeah.
Which I was never good at. Like, it's just certain deficiencies, I think, in my brain and wiring that don't allow me to either have the patience to do this stuff or the comprehension to put these things together. I just, on anything, like even the simplest thing to assemble stuff, I lose patience very quickly, as you know.
I know. And I don't look at the directions, so then I get more annoyed.
Exactly. So I'm trying to figure out what's worse. Is it worse to be like me, who just knows from the beginning that it's not going to work and I don't try to do it and just hire somebody? Or somebody like Beth, who thinks she knows what she's doing, ignores the directions, and then puts it together and it turns out to be wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
But sometimes when you put it together and it's wrong, we're like, close enough.
Yeah, look how reasonable. $229. Five left and it's from Amazon, so we'll get it by tomorrow. But the question is going to be...
Will the guy ride it here?
Yeah, no, I mean, the question really is that is it going to, what I'd love for it to say is, super easy to put together. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how easy this is to put together. It looks kind of cool.
I don't think anything is easy to put together, even if it says easy to put together.
I know. But that's like a good price. That's a pretty good price.
Well, if anybody's looking just to unload
something that's already put together,
and you have like a truck or something, and you want to drive it on over here, and we can. I can do that. I can definitely lift it off the truck with somebody and carry it into the store.
Okay, this says some assembly required.
Yeah.
It doesn't say a lot.
What I just said before, it doesn't matter if it's a lot or just a little bit. It's not going to work for
maybe
me.
Maybe I should be like, maybe I should type in spin bike, easy assembly.
The reason all this started, by the way, is because Beth woke up this morning and basically said, yeah, it's good. I didn't lose anything in terms of any weight, which is fine because Beth is already doing an amazing job. But she wants to see steady progress each and every day. And the problem is that, or not problem, the main method by which Beth loses weight is when she's doing this diet and, as common sense would dictate, is exercising every day. But it's very tough, obviously, to get over to the gym. So we should try to be doing something inside the house, even if it's for 20 minutes, some type of calisthenics, some type of exercise, just to get the system moving. And that's when Beth said, oh, well, I wish we had a bike or something I could ride. And that's how all this got started. So, all right, you can stop looking at the
end. All right, fine. I'm not buying any spinners today. So there you go.
Did you find anything interesting in the New York Post this morning?
A lot of people dying of cold. That's what I found. I found a poor man who went out to Chinatown with his friend, and then he never came home, and he had diabetes, and his wife had warned him. And
Beth mentioned something about Chinatown and
the boardwalk.
And the boardwalk. I don't know what you're talking. Like, there's some boardwalk in Chinatown that he got lost on?
No, he must live near a boardwalk, but he goes out with his friends in Chinatown. I mean, that makes more sense.
Oh, okay.
So the wife said... He always goes out on the boardwalk. He loves to walk on the boardwalk, but I told him to be careful. And here, found on boardwalk, the Big Apple froze to its core with a devastating Arctic blast. And it says that proved fatal for an elderly Brooklyn man who died on his way home from his weekly visit to Chinatown to see friends, even though his wife was worried. Though his worried wife begged him not to travel. The sound on the Coney Island boardwalk. That's what it was found.
Okay, now that I'm like, I don't think I couldn't think of
what. Yeah, did you know they built a boardwalk
in
Chinatown?
I was like, wow. So
this poor man died. Then another woman, who was 66 years old, either she slipped and froze to death. She died. She was in Lakewood Elk Lodge. She was a New Jersey grandmother who passed away. And then here's a crazy one: a woman, in her 30s, young woman who is from New York. Went to New Hampshire. Her husband actually dropped her off at the base of the mountain. Here she is, and hiking, and she disappeared. And after then, they found her, and she was dead. So she also was, she died from exposure. But she was dropped off. The temperatures, it's sub-zero temperatures at 100 mile per hour wind.
Oh my God!
But you know what? I mean, they said she's in her life. She climbed to Uhura Peak in Tanzania, Africa's highest point, Mount Kilimanjaro. She was very ambitious in her climb, but after a certain point...
And she wasn't with anybody when she was doing the climb?
Her husband dropped her off. I mean, how is he going to struggle now? Her husband was a VP for JPMorgan Chase, dropped her off early Sunday at the base of the mountain, where she planned to hike Mount Washington. Why would you drop somebody off by themselves? In freezing cold temperatures. I don't know how they got away.
The adventurous young woman was penetrating at the bank. Wow, I know a lot of penetrators over the CMP. I don't think she's somebody who I knew. I'm trying to see who her husband is, somebody as well. The name of Kate Marasova, her name, which doesn't really ring a bell to me, but I do know her at BMP, so I'm trying to see the husband. They don't mention. That is very sad.
Yeah, it is very sad. It's funny because the other day, not funny, but the other day there was like an older man I saw jogging in our neighborhood. And I was thinking, like, okay.
Well, that's funny.
No, it's not funny, but it was just, when they say.
That's admirable.
It's admirable, but when they say, listen, you know, you're out there in these freezing cold temperatures, I really wouldn't take a chance.
you don't have a very good perspective. Beth, if it's like 40 degrees outside, Beth, all activity stops in Beth's mind. The world comes to a complete stop. It's time for everybody to go back inside, get on their couch, and curl in a blanket.
Right.
Watch movies. What are you doing outside jogging in 35-degree weather? Are you kidding me?
It wasn't 35. It was like 4. It was like 4-degree weather. So if it was 40 degrees or 35, I get it. But no. Our dog is, again,
she's
so spoiled. But she's going stir crazy.
She's getting upset, because I have
Maybe you can take her in the backyard. She can go sledding today. She likes dog sledding. Maybe I did a rod in the backyard.
She would love that.
Yeah, she would love sledding.
We already had somebody. I'm surprised we already had somebody come by.
And you turned them away. You could have had them. That would have. You could have finally solved our problem.
Yeah, but you know what? We haven't had enough stimulation yet.
They come back when it's 2 feet.
So if I'm going to pay them money to have somebody shovel, I'm going to make it so that I'm truly saving my back, right?
Right.
Otherwise,
okay.
You know he was going to charge
like $100
for just not that we've had so far, and I think he's still going out there.
They said 3 to 6 inches today.
How much did we?
I don't know.
Probably 2 inches, maybe.
Yeah.
And is our plumber going to be able to get over today?
I don't know. It's also the temperatures are not. Unfortunately, they're still kind of low, and then supposedly on Friday it's going to be as cold as it was yesterday again. So it's going to be on Friday.
You passed out, by the way, last night. You were like on the couch, and all of a sudden I'm watching TV, and I look over to you, and I look over at our son, and you guys are out cold. You like curled in our in a ball. Like, normally when that's on the couch. She sort of tucked away into the corner of the couch between the pillows there, and her head just sort of sinks in. This time, for whatever reason, Beth moved her feet down a little bit and was cradling the couch itself with her head just tucked in. And they just normally this is what happens when the family falls asleep downstairs. Beth is usually asleep on the couch. Either my son, sometimes the daughter falls asleep as well. I'm usually the one to get up first. More times than not, I fall asleep on the couch. And usually all this is going on while the TV is on. And then what ends up happening is I end up taking the remote control and I press the off button. As soon as I press the off button, the TV makes a sound like boom! And all of a sudden, Beth will wake up in a pure daze, like, oh my God, what just happened? I'm like, okay, sweetie, it's time to go upstairs and go to sleep. But when I pressed the button last night, I think you were in such deep sleep that you didn't even move. And that's usually a good sign for me to see how tired you are, because a lot of times when you fall asleep, it's more like you're in and out of sleep. Like,
I guess over the weekend it was a rough sleep because of the dog waking up and tormenting us because she was in the crate for so long. So that was one day. And I think this weather is making me crap.
No, I think the other reason why you're tired.
Because I'm not eating.
It's the food. Yeah, you're not having as many
things to eat.
To eat as many calories, and like you say, but you haven't been to the gym the last 6 days for good reason. The weather's terrible, and when you're not exercising enough,
you get more lethargic.
You'll be more lethargic.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I'm really not funny, but I'm going to do the cleanse tomorrow. So get ready, I'm going to be angrier.
I'm trying to understand what the implications of this cleanse means. Like, does that mean you have to get John here up sooner?
Very good. I don't think so. I mean, it's just more, it's all liquids, and then I get to have that chocolate that I
John is the plumber we've been talking about, so.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I was going to do it. Actually, well, I haven't started. Maybe I should do it today since I'm home. I should mix things up because I haven't had my shake yet anyway, so I could technically do it today. I don't know. But then I'll go stir crazy because I look forward to my 1 meal a day like a prison. It's tough. I mean.
Beth said to me, she goes, I'd love to go to lunch with you today, but that means that I can't have dinner.
Right, exactly.
Oh, my God. I'd love to have a meal with you. But then I won't be able to eat for the rest of the week.
Right. Then I won't be able to do this. This is a very restrictive plan. And I, you know, even though, okay, I'm down 2 pounds, still feels like I want to be down 6 pounds already. You know, I just feel like, oh God, you know, come on, just do me a favor. It doesn't feel like, I know that's a good weight loss, but I kind of feel like I want to at least be down 4 for the week once all is said and done.
You get it. You'll get it. You got to do a little bit of calisthenics inside. Do some sit-ups, do some push-ups, run around with the dog up and down the stairs.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Seriously, if you think about it, there are so many things a person can do to exercise without actually having equipment in the house. Right?
I know. I mean,
especially if you have it, like if you have a staircase. The stuff that you can do with the staircase. We used to have a personal trainer way back, a while back. We used to have this great guy.
Another John.
A John O'Connor. He used to come to the house and do personal training for me and Beth. And first of all, he was just the nicest guy in the world. I mean, any nicer than that. Had a very nice family. His wife, Kathy, Commissioner Westchester Parks and Rec, and he's got a couple of kids. I think they've already graduated from college. I'm almost certain they have. But he would come to our house to do personal training. And a lot of the stuff that he would do with us was just all resistance bands.
Yep.
And a lot of it was just using our own stairs and just going, when the weather was nice, just going outside on our hill, doing exercises on our hill. And point is that we have all the stuff right here to be physically fit without actually having to go purchase equipment.
Yeah, just have to be disciplined.
You just have to be disciplined.
Yeah, and it's like when something clips. I was showing Darren a Facebook post of a very inspiring woman who is 65 years old who runs does triathlon. And she was saying even though it's like the wind chill is 12 below zero where she is in Rhode Island, she has her bike set up inside the garage and she has it on like a thing where she can just, you know, she can just whatever it is, let's make it like a spin bike.
That's a 65-year-old.
Sharon, yeah. She's my friend's mom, and they have a site called Mom Generations, and she's the same one. Remember the one who I told you about, the husband who did this new food company where they're growing the vegetables and they're selling it at the stores?
Yeah.
His mother-in-law. So they're a very inspiring family. You know, they do a lot of exciting, fun things, and she's an amazing chick.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of dedication.
A lot of dedication.
Yeah.
That's inspiration.
Yeah, well, and they live in this place in Rhode Island. I see usually in the summers they take these gorgeous photos because they're right on the water, and it's really pretty. It's just this time of year, it's downright impressive.
Speaking of that area, Boston,
they
are under serious attack with the weather.
I know. Terrible.
I don't know how many inches they've gotten so far this winter, but it's from what I understand.
Having gone to school in Massachusetts, I know, had my nice healing coat, and it used to be nice, and it was freezing there.
By the way, I want to ask you, why is it that you like to watch your principles? So the other thing I forgot to mention, I came home yesterday from baseball program in Yonkers. What was on the TV, it was anybody would enjoy watching it.
He's cartoonish. As is his, here's the thing, like, I hope Saturday Night Live actually does a skit about it, because between him and his kids, who are just, like, it's just, they're not natural on TV, so they just kind of come off weird anyway, and then he's just arrogant and, like, with his voice, you know, it's just funny. I watched the finale, because I always, you know, I like to see what they did with their different challenges. They both had to do with Geraldo versus Lisa Gibbons, and the funny thing is, I actually did PR. I worked in PR on both of their shows. So my very first job in PR.
You met Geraldo?
Oh, yeah. When I was in graduate school, I did an actual paper on the executive producer, Marty Berman, who's Geraldo's friend. But I was, my very first job as a junior publicist was working on the Geraldo show.
Let's take people through a little bit of history in terms of some of the public figures and talk show hosts that Beth has actually worked with in the past. So I'm going to see if I can name them. You don't name them. I'm going to name them first.
Okay.
All right. So we have Geraldo Rivera, right?
Yes.
We have Maury Povich.
Yes.
We have Ricky Lake.
Yes.
We have Tempest Bledsoe. Other talk shows. Who am I missing?
Lisa Gibbons.
Lisa Gibbons.
John Tesh.
Hey,
we did a short show, a very quick stand-up called John and Lisa. It was on their show. minute.
Wait,
so.
Is that when you started becoming obsessed with John Tesh?
I don't know. But I mean, I met him and he was so nice. So maybe, you know. And
he's
then
really
I just,
tall, right?
He's super tall.
He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. But yeah, I worked on that.
By the way, when we're driving in the car and we're listening to the radio and then all of a sudden John Tesh comes on with one of his smart tips for life or whatever he calls it, everything in the car just stops. Like, shh. John's talking. Like,
he's my shaman. Yeah, he's my shaman. But yeah, so I worked on that. And then we worked on, like, actually when I had my job as the junior publicist, I also worked on the Joan Rivers show, but I really didn't get to see her. I saw her dog. Oh, Connie fell.
Connie.
Never worked with her. And, yeah, so I worked on, like, 5 or 6 talk shows, and it was a really good experience for the most part. And Geraldo, yeah, he was a tough guy, but people love him. I mean, our friend, my friend Pam, her husband, Noam, was with him. He works with Geraldo, but he has one of these reputations where he's had, you know, these friends for life, people who are like Geraldo loyalists, and yeah, he works hard, but he appreciates hard work, and he likes things a certain way, and that's why he was successful. And Lisa Gibbons is different. She was much more team player, very nice, but she also, like, she managed, they said, on the Apprentice, she won like 8 of her challenges each week.
Well, and what kind of guess the thing I didn't understand? She raised $400,000 for her cause, and he raised how much? $700,000?
Yeah, but over the course of the entire show, which was 13 episodes, he raised $750,000. In the last challenge, which was the two of them competing head to head for the, you know, the last thing, he raised $167,000, and she raised over $300,000. So she really brought in the lion's share of the earnings for her charities on the very last challenge. But what they were saying is consistently, she always won the task when she was the project manager or was at least, you know, part of the team because of her, the way that she motivated people to do well. And you know what? I really admire that because it's hard. I know for myself that I get, as I've gotten older, I've lost patience and I can be hot-headed, and that was not my personality before. And it changed, and I don't like that about myself. And I'd rather be more like Lisa Gibbons for the most part, but I think I've been forced not to be because when you deal sometimes with, like, mediocre stuff.
Get them with honey, not with vinegar.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's two different things. When you're too nice, people walk all over you. So you don't want to be too nice to the point where people are just going to take advantage, because that's been my failing point. But the other part of it is, it's hard as a woman to not put your emotions into what you do, and I do that. And I work with people who also do that. So if I am asking a question that has, I'm questioning someone and it has, like, a negative connotation to it because I'm kind of disappointed in whatever the results are that I need, some of the people that I work with get very emotional and defensive about it. And I know for myself that I've done that too, and it's hard to shut that off. Like, it's hard not to take things. And that's something that, I don't know, I mean, over the years.
Even if somebody says it's not personal?
It's personal. It's an attack on you. It's sort of like, oh, well, what do you think, I'm not trying or whatever. It's not easy, and I know that. And I've chosen a career that is just one of the most difficult, other than, of course, a neurosurgeon is probably more difficult than what I do. But it's difficult because you can never control the outcome of what you do. So that's the issue.
So go back to celebrity for a second. Mm-hmm. So what do they
She won $250,000 towards her charity, in addition to the money that she had raised.
Ah, okay.
So her charity, which the reason why I was, like, getting teary on my couch, was because her mother had Alzheimer's, and she created a whole thing called these cares or something like that. And she has these centers that she's created for caregivers of patients with Alzheimer's.
You can get Beth to cry if I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Really,
I just am in a crying kind of mood. I just feel like I need to.
It's
a good cry.
You like them, putting yourself in a position where you can cry.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, I need to cry. I'm gonna
watch. Exactly. I wasn't expecting to watch The Apprentice to cry tonight, but last night. But they had. I cried with her. I cried with Geraldo's charity. Then I cried with the tribute to Joan Rivers. And it was a lot of.
That's probably helpful.
It is helpful to cry. It is helpful to cry. It's you shouldn't be doing it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You're crying every day is probably an issue, but yeah.
Right. But it's definitely something that I would let it out. Feeling
heavy, and all of a sudden you just want to let a couple of tears come out. Interesting, like the whole issue of crying. I wonder how much today boys and girls are taught.
I think more boys cry now. Absolutely. You see it in sports. They're all like crying during a basketball game. Crying, like, my shoe. It's like, yeah, that
right.
It's gotten a bit too much.
It is. It's definitely gone. The sensitivity training has definitely taken hold, and I see a lot of boys now just crying with no regard to anybody saying you're not supposed to cry in sports, or in baseball. No crying in baseball. It's way too. At least the kids I coach is way too much crying.
Yeah.
Way too much crying. So although kids should not be scolded for crying. You need to learn what is the appropriate reason for crying. I always tell our son, the only time you should be crying is if you're physically hurt, if something happened to you emotionally, if somebody did something, but like losing a game, other reasons.
Well, but you're losing
like
a championship.
Not getting your way, kids are really little, like not getting your way is not a good reason to cry. If you're losing a championship, it all depends, but. Yeah, the crying has gotten to be a bit much. I'm gonna go and turn down the television.
Or close the door. I think it would be watching some sort of shoot 'em up movie. That's what happens when your kids are on winter break and there's no place to go. So I think our son is watching some sort of shoot 'em up movie right now, and Darren's just closing him in.
That's so cute. He was watching his antennas and watching it too. They're watching, I think, Rocky 2 or Rocky 3
again. Oh, God. It's a Rocky marathon.
Like, close the door, leave me alone. I'm watching Rocky.
Died. That was the Rocky 2 they watched.
Yeah, we're watching the movie and that's doing a little work, and all of a sudden, in Rocky 3, the scene where
Rocky 3
where Burgess Meredith died, and then they were doing the funeral, and Mick was Jewish in the movie. I didn't know Mick was Jewish. he's Jewish. I thought that was so interesting that
Rocky 3,
but that. I was telling our son, Burgess Meredith in Rocky, it is almost impossible to ever replicate a character like that. Nick is the best. I can. That's the reason I can watch them over and over and over just for Burgess Meredith. They don't make actors like that.
No,
they don't.
Yeah, not for.
What is she? She just took over. Our dog just took a break from watching Rocky and came out to see what we're doing.
Yeah, and once again, she goes, now I can torment you again.
Who was the singer? What's her name?
Leslie Gore.
She sang what? It's My Party?
It's My Party, and I'll cry if I want to.
Yeah,
she had
a party of crying again.
Yeah, she had depression. She had lung cancer. She was, and I was reading about it yesterday that I guess Neil Sedaka went to her Sweet 16. They grew up in Brooklyn.
Neil Sedaka? Really?
Yeah, well, it was funny because when I went to see Beautiful on Broadway, they talk about how there's a song that Neil Sedaka wrote called Carol, and it's about Carole King. And it was the same thing. They also knew each other. Like, all these talented musicians and singers all grew up in the same area in Brooklyn.
Neil Sedaka from Brooklyn?
Yeah, and Barbara Streisand went to Erasmus. High school, Andrea, my friend, our friend, her father went to high school with Barbara Streisand. Yeah, so it's like amazing. I kind of find like Brooklyn and the Bronx had some really incredible people.
There's a lot of talent.
Yeah, including my dad, who then didn't go into acting but went to the high school performing arts and went to school with a lot of these people but never pursued his career.
I went to school with Ralph Lauren, right?
Ralph Lauren, yeah, when his name was Ralph Lifshitz. He didn't go to the high school performing arts with him. He played basketball with him. They were on the Comet. It was a basketball league on Marshall Lee Parkway in Rock.
And Ralph, when he saw him in the street, affectionately referred to him as Butch.
Yeah, that was my dad's nickname.
I love that. You're actually a pretty good basketball player.
Yeah, no, he was always athletic. I mean, now I spoke to him yesterday. He's like, I just came off the golf course, and my life is good down here.
He's a great, sunny here, playing tennis, playing golf.
more son?
Yeah, she does. And then he started saying to me, yeah, people are asking why we're going back so early this year. I'm like, you left in early October. Don't start telling me why are we going back so early this year. Like, my father.
Because you have a bar mitzvah to come to.
Right. Well, that, but the thing, Passover is before our son's bar mitzvah. So Passover is pretty early this year. So they're going to be coming back, I think, in March. I believe Passover is like early April or something. Back and they're like, yeah, we're coming back earlier than we would. Doing it for you.
It's always this back and forth. I love this. Always this back and forth guilt trip. You always lay down guilt with them for kind of keeping you going. You're going to be making this holiday. You're going to be down there for this. You're leaving early and early to go to bar. You come back later. And then that usually sides. And then there's this, this dialogue and relationship that you have with them when they're in Florida. Usually we do go down there. So it's a little bit different. And then the guilt trip sort of reverses itself like it's doing right now, where you guys think, oh, I can't believe we're having to come back so soon. It's so beautiful down here. I'm having the best time. And now I got to come back to New York.
Yeah.
So it's like the guilt trip coming right back this way.
Well, but
coming
then he said,
guilt trip coming back north.
Well, but then he started giving me the, because, we talked about the fact that they're going to sell their house. Well, my friends who sold their houses up east, you know what they do instead now? They fly up for Thanksgiving and they fly up for this and they fly up for that. And I'm thinking, you know what, even if you hadn't sold the house, for them to fly up to us during those times of year, it's actually cheaper to fly in this direction anyway, so it wouldn't be such a big deal, but they just don't come.
Well,
so.
Who wants to fly up to New York in February?
Right, well, exactly. I'm not asking them to fly up in February. So, anyway, but it's just funny, like he's saying, oh, yeah, well, once we sell the house, we'll fly up to you more. I'm like, no, you won't.
No, you won't.
No, yeah, you won't.
Let's be real.
Just send the tickets this way,
yeah.
We'll fly back down to you if you're set aside an airline fund for us to just start flying down. And then that'll work.
That's a good idea.
Anyway, so that's the conversation we had.
Well, I got to get moving.
Okay, well then, thanks for stopping by, and we'll be back again tomorrow. And
stay warm and stay classy.